and Agnes is way too young to be a grandmother.
Well.
But we are. I am. Cool. She is.
You know what?
Something.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it is. I'm kind of in love with the little tykes.
That's great, man.
Hey, brother, I hate to cut it short, but Peter's on the way with Strictly Confidential. We got to make room for him.
Okay. Well, listen, man, I love you guys. I'll give a listen and get in on you tonight, all right?
We'll be right here.
And have a great couple hours. Tell Peter, well, Peter, you're listening, I'm sure. Love you, man. And I love all of you guys, and have a great evening.
All right. Take care, Bruce.
Okay.
Later.
Bye.
And that, of course, is our dear buddy, Bruce Birch. It is time for Strictly Confidential, which means it's time for me to get out of here, and I am run up against it. So thank you to everyone. Thank you especially to the bravest, hardest-working people I know, the folks down at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, working every day tirelessly to save not only the Appalachian region from mountaintop removal, but the entire country. You can be a part of the solution by going to crmw.net and joining. Please do so. You will be glad you did. Thank you, everyone. We'll be back tomorrow evening. The broadcast day is far from over. Coming up next, Strictly Confidential with the world's most fabulous LGBT conversation radio host, Peter Godbold. After that, as mentioned, the horn section. Might even hear from Brother Bruce. And following that, All Foxed Up with John Fox will round out the broadcast day. Lots of fun coming yet. And always... always, always. RMR, Gina, it's all for you.
Kids, it's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to book, chapter, and verse 141 of Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and welcome to the LGBT version of Conversation Radio, in touch with the LGBT community and our straight allies. Strictly Confidential is found exclusively on the listener-supported Head On Radio Network, also brought to you in part by Coal River Mountain Watch. That's crmw.net, Coal River Mountain Watch. Stop by crmw.net and have a look at what mountaintop removal is doing to West Virginia. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. Today is, in fact, Tuesday, May the 6th, 2008. So if you're listening shortly after 9 p.m. Eastern Time on a Tuesday evening, May the 6th, 2008, you're listening to a live show, and you're welcome to call in and participate. I'll be giving out the toll-free and toll lines in just a moment. If you're listening via the podcast streams, we're glad that you're joining us also, and we appreciate your listening, even if you're listening tomorrow or the next day. The show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com, and there you're going to find links to all of the guests. You'll find links to the audio archives from past shows, as well as to the chat room, which is a good night to join it. We have lots of folks there. It's easy to join. Just stop by the site. You'll click on chat and choose yourself a username, and you'll go right in. That's at strictlyconfidentialradio.com. You'll also find links there for Strictly Confidential's MySpace page and links to help you locate the music you hear on the show. You'll also find there a link to the Head On Radio Network main site. You can stop by the Head On Radio Network main site. That's headonradionetwork.com, where you can find out about all of the other progressive programming on the horn, as well as a PayPal button to make it easier for you to support the Head On Radio Network. The toll-free line is 877, the number 4, Head On. That translates into 877-443-2366. That's 877-443-2366. If you have unlimited long distance, you can use that and save the studio a nickel or a buck. And that is area code 304-658-3333. That rings in West Virginia. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com, and I do my best to check the email during the break. So there you have it. Several ways to communicate with conversation radio, or not talk radio. It is a conversation, so do participate in any way you choose. The toll-free line, the toll line, the chat room, or email. Let's see here. It's good to be back tonight. I had a business meeting yesterday afternoon that got me home rather late. So I'm going to be doing a server reload for a little company in Tallahassee coming up pretty soon, and that will be over the Memorial Day weekend. I'm actually going to move in. Literally be spending the night there. It's a lot easier to just sleep, catch a few cat naps on the floor and get back up and work again to get it completed rather than drive all the way home and all the way back. So Doggy and I will literally be moving in on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday evening, and perhaps even part of Monday evening to get that done. It's a huge job to take down a server and reload it. It's about time that that was done, and we're using a new operating system and all that kind of fun stuff. I want to start this evening by giving you a news update. Last week, we talked about the National Day of Prayer and how it was a wholly owned subsidiary of Focus on the Family, and how it had become so militant and so far from the National Day of Prayer as it originally intended. It was originally intended to cover all faith and a day of prayer, all the denominations and faiths coming together. Of course, that has changed. At this point in time, you have to sign a form confessing your belief in Jesus Christ and telling about your conversion and who your pastor is, and Christians only. It's in fact, we do have a national religion at this point in time. An update that came in late last week was that at least a half a dozen active military officials had been working very, very closely with the National Day of Prayer Task Force, which is, of course, Focus on the Family. There is no site for the National Day of Prayer. It's merely a set-aside day. But the Focus on the Family stepped in to fill that void. So in any case, they've been working closely with Focus on the Family, and they are planning religious events. In fact, they planned and did pull off religious events at military installations around the country and indeed around the world to commemorate Thursday's National Day of Prayer. The declaration signed by the military officials says that they promise to ensure, and I quote, a strong, consistent Christian message throughout the nation, and that the National Day of Prayer events scheduled to take place at their military installations will be conducted solely by Christians. Not that I have anything against Christians, mind you. It's just that it's another takeover of and blend of the right wing and the government. See, they just don't understand that the separation of church and state is also designed to protect the church and also you, but it's designed to protect the church from the taint of politics, of which the church is stinking to high heaven, at least the right-wing ones are. A couple of miscellaneous stories, and we'll get down to some longer ones, but I often skip past these longer stories when we run along with some of the others, so I wanted to tell you a story about those pesky lesbians. What will we do about our pesky lesbian friends? I say that with all affection. The people of Lesbos, yes, the island, yes, there is an island called Lesbos, are taking a gay group to court over the term lesbian. This is Dateline Athens, Greece. A Greek court has been asked to draw the line between the natives of the Aegean Sea island of Lesbos and the world's gay women. Now, there are three islanders from Lesbos, and of course Lesbos is the home of the ancient poet Sappho, who often praised love between women in her writings. They're taking a gay rights organization to court for using the word lesbian in its name. One of the plaintiffs said Wednesday that the association called Homosexual and Lesbian Community of Greece, quote, insults the identity, end quote, of the people of Lesbos, who are also known as lesbians. You know, what a world we live in. Words, words, words. One of the plaintiffs says, my sister can't say she's a lesbian. Our geographical designation has been usurped by certain ladies who have no connection whatsoever with Lesbos. The Lesbos is, of course, and also, in addition to being the birthplace of Sappho, it's an island destination that is favored by gay women. Many gay women travel there. Particularly, they go to the poet's hometown there on the island. One of the plaintiffs says, this is not an aggressive act against gay women. Let them visit Lesbos. Let them get married, whatever they like. We just don't want the group to use the word lesbian. They should remove the word lesbian from their title. You know, this reminds me of the argument with Florida State University using the name Seminoles, the Florida State Fighting Seminoles. And the Seminoles would like that name back, too, especially using the term Fighting Seminoles. It implicates that the Seminole Indians are fighting, mean-spirited people, and of course they did have to fight to survive, but now they're cast off into the swamps of South Florida. In any case, what's a lesbian to do? I'm sorry, but, you know, the world never ceases to amaze me. In any case, the plaintiffs have targeted the group called the Homosexual and Lesbian Community of Greece because it is the only officially registered gay group in Greece, rather, to use the word lesbian in its name. Now, getting back to Sappho, she lived in from late 7th century to 6th century B.C. and is considered one of the greatest poets of antiquity, and many of her poems, written in the first person and intended to be accompanied by music, contain passionate references to love for other women. One of the plaintiffs is saying, the word lesbian is now linked to the island, but we've been lesbians for... I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh at this. I should try to do this seriously. And I feel for them, but in any case, but we've been lesbians for thousands of years. And so if you are one of our lesbian listeners and would like to talk about that, I would love to hear your reaction to the island of Lesbos wanting their name back. It's sort of like the 60s calling and wanting their hair back. The 80s calling and wanting back their dial-up modems. In any case, if you'd like to do that, the number for toll-free access is 877, the number 4 head-on, or 877-443-2366. Also, area code 304-658-3333 will get you into the studio in West Virginia. Let's move along to the next article. Yeah, we're going to talk about conservative youth for a little while. Yes, despite the fact of all the progress that progressive groups have made over the years, there is still a core of extremely, and I don't use that word lightly, they are extremists. In fact, they tend to be far more extreme conservatives than their parents or their older brothers and sisters. The younger they are, the more vitriolic they are, and the more conservative they are. There's a fellow named Ryan Sorba, and he wrote a book called The Born Gay Hoax. Get it? You're not born gay, it's a hoax. It's put on by the homosexual agenda to get you to swing their way or whatever their particular brand of it they are pushing right now. In any case, a fellow named Kyle Bristow, who's the chairman of the Michigan State University chapter. His name is Kyle Bristow. He's the chairman of the Michigan State University chapter of Young Americans for Freedom. Says sexual deviancy poses a dire threat to our civilization. It's not funny. It is an affront to God, and it corrupts culture with decadence. And it's an attack on the institution of the family, which is the crux of our society. In any case, Sorba is going to be delivering the speech. I think he's scheduled in September. He says that the Born Gay hoax was invented in 1985. I remember 1985. I was DJing then. It was invented in 1985 by pro-sodomy activists in an effort to overturn anti-sodomy laws. By way of a minority status, they couldn't do that without getting on the born gay hoax. The idea that one is born gay, he says, is absolutely ridiculous. The Young Americans for Freedom, who is the youth conservatives, little baby Republicans, little tiny Republicans. I think you could still get them with roach spray, but, you know, can't say that on the radio. I mean that in the kindest, gentlest possible way. In any case, the Young Americans for Freedom, the YAF, is conservative, and it's a nonpartisan, yeah, right, political organization that was founded in 1960. Check it out. Former members include Ronald Reagan, Tom Tancredo, Vice President Dick Cheney, and Vice President Dan Quayle, and also John Wayne. The website can be seen. I'm not going to tell you because we don't need to spend their counters. But in any case, I wanted to introduce the topic of Young Americans for Freedom and their stand that sexual deviancy poses a dire threat to our civilization. It is an affront to God. Imagine that. God is so easily offended, according to those people. It corrupts culture with decadence. I think you've been watching a few porn movies, have you? It is an attack on the institution of family, the crux of our society, he says. Let's talk about some of these young Republicans. Despite their dwindling numbers, much like the log closet Republicans, they stand up for their conservative ideals. Let's talk about the South Side of Chicago. His name is Ladrius Beal. And he is a young Republican, and he is a suit and tie wearing man in an island of conservatism in a sea of Democrats. He says that he's surrounded by people who support Barack Obama. Poor guy. The 17-year-old's top political issues have their roots in his evangelical Christian faith. You know, I've had so many conversations with folks, some of the activists that we've had on the show who explain to us that a lot of people in the LGBT community just don't get it, that we're fighting against the the evangelical Christians. There just seems to be such an information gap. In fact, I've got a story buried in here somewhere that a huge percentage don't even know if it's legal to be in the military, if it's legal to get married in their state. It's like, you know, these people have got to be doing something besides, well, whatever it is they're doing. In any case, the 17-year-old's top political issues have their roots in his evangelical Christian faith. He adamantly opposes abortion. He believes in marriage as a union between only one man and one woman. One day he hopes to vote for Mike Huckabee, the Baptist preacher that we all know and love, and who's already dropped out of the race, as of course any of our regular listeners know, because we tend to keep up pretty tight with things around here. He says he's not going to let anybody make him feel ashamed about what he believes. And I'm sure he doesn't want us to be ashamed either, as long as we believe what he believes. This is typically the way it works. That's normally the deal that you get. He says, and that's how I am. Says Beal, a junior at Chicago's Julian High School, where he is known as the preacher for regularly riling up fellow students with his views. Yes, he's one of the preachers who puts his copy of American History on the steps and stands on it so he can be just a little bit higher and begins ranting in the schoolyard. You know, you just know there are some, you know, he's the next Jerry Falwell. He's black, but he's the next Jerry Falwell. He's the next generation. Says he's a young black man living amid Obama mania, and it's overtaken not just his predominantly black high school, but college campuses across the country and all over the Chicago and the Michigan area, the Illinois area. He lists a number of states. Says the Associated Press has found that a large number of young Republicans like Beal have conservative leanings. An analysis of exit poll data from 2008 presidential primaries found that Republican voters younger than the age of 30 tend to be far more conservative than their elders. Imagine that. A third of these young Republicans oppose abortion in all circumstances, even if the mama is going to die, compared with 23% of Republicans age 30 or older. They're also 10 percentage points more likely to say that the top quality of a candidate that they're looking for is, quote, shares my values, shares my media-induced values, whereas older Republicans are more likely to say it's experience. You know, like George Bush, you know, he had all that experience in foreign policy and governing, and he was a governor of a big state, you know. He didn't have any responsibilities except, well, let's not go there. He said that young Republicans were 9% percentage points more likely than the older Republicans to vote for Huckabee back when the Huckabeest was in the race. And the analysis found that those in the 18 to 24-year-old Republican bracket were the most conservative of any voters of any stripe or demographic. This is not just exclusive to young men. There's a Tara. Tara is a 20-year-old senior at the University of Texas. She's among them. She won't say what candidate she voted for in the Texas Republican. Texican really is, you know, it's just about right on. But, you know, I apologize to our progressive listeners in Texas. The Texas Republican primary. She won't say who she voted for, but she says she's found things to like about Huckabee and Ron Paul and McCain. Imagine that. She says, as a young person who wants to admire a president as a moral leader, honey, look to your church. I respect that Senator McCain doesn't just tell people what they hear. I don't know why she threw that sentence in, totally irrelevant. So, there's more information about what a difficult time the older Republicans are. Well, John McCain is, they're talking about reaching out to these young ultra-conservatives, because you see, McCain has had a history of being an outlaw or bucking the Republican Party. But I should point out to you, though, as of today's news, he is very deeply Republican and has committed to the Christian right that he will continue stacking the Supreme Court with the animals that we know are there, the ones who stole the election for him in the first place. Any case, it spans all races, both black and white and everything in between. But I just wanted to tell you about the young Republicans there. They make such wonderful statements. There can be pro-choice Republicans and pro-environmental Republicans. I didn't know that. Show me one. There can be fiscal moderates and fiscal conservatives, or even gay Republicans. Oh, I don't claim them as gay. Maybe you claim them as Republicans. I don't know what to make of them. But then again, I am not exactly unbiased along those lines. And frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. I wanted to tell you, too, the story as follow-up from last week. If you'll recall, we were a little bit upset that the American Psychiatric Association had scheduled a symposium scheduled for May the 5th called Homosexuality and Therapy, the Religious Dimensions. Never mind that homosexuality was removed from the DSM, the Book of Diseases, and what was that, back in the 80s or the late 70s? I don't have the date here. I've forgotten exactly when. But nonetheless, due to, the outrage and the powerful homosexual lobbies with all of our money and our control of government in every way, because of that, Homosexuality and Therapy, the Religious Dimension, was removed from the American Psychiatric Association's annual convention. Of course, it was entirely to be an undercover way for these fundies to then write papers saying that we presented our evidence to the American Psychiatric Association. You see, if you can use the name of your fill-in, your idiot fundamentalist organization here, you can associate that with something that people know and trust, like the American Psychiatric Association, like Bush trying to associate his stench with Southern Methodist University. What you do is you ooze your way into a situation where you can grab someone's good name and use it for all it's worth, sort of like the Republicans did with the word Christianity. Or was it the Christians who took the Republicans' name? I don't know. I think that was a marriage where nobody was at point of a shotgun. I believe they walked down the aisle together, but, that's just me. In any case, the event drew fire from critics because the whole thing about homosexuals recovering through, pray away the gay therapy, homo nomo, as we call it sometimes, has been completely discredited. In fact, it is dying on the vine. It is very difficult to find any thinking conservative who will tell you with a straight face that that works. It is only the rabid, uneducated, Fox News watching, Limbaugh sucking, knuckle dragging. Bob is so much better than this that I am. I really do need to write down a whole list of Bob's rants so I can pull those words out as needed. But I think you get that picture. In any case, the man that they were going to have on this panel in front of the American Psychiatric Association's annual convention was Warren Throckmorton, and he is an unlicensed psychologist from a Christian college in Pennsylvania. And I don't care if it was a Christian college. He's unlicensed. He says he's applied his successful sexual identity therapy to help patients and that it's amazingly effective and that they live their lives heterosexually with only a few weak instances of homosexual attraction. However, he has no one standing in line just say, yep, that's right. It's not been subjected to any clinical studies or peer-reviewed professional journals. Oh, Bob is giving me a hand. Thank you, Bob, for my rents. Tongue-speaking, floor-rolling, snake-handling, strychnine-drinking fundy. Thank you, Bob. I need to copy-paste that into a document and keep it in front of me. Always lose those. In any case, one of the fellows he was a Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Yeah. He said he would support the use. This is one of the people who's hooked up with the panel and the association and the panel and the Throckmorton. He said he would support the use of prenatal tests to find out if an embryo's had a homosexual orientation. This is, you know, this is science fiction to them, you know, when it finally comes up that we can test them little eggies for gayness. He is saying that when there is a prenatal test, that parents should know if the embryos are homosexual. And since there's really no known cure, I suppose nipping it in the bud, if you'll pardon the pun, is the order of the day. Very idea, the American Psychiatric Association legitimizing these homophobic... Very idea. In any case, they wisely dropped it. Just amazing to me. Now we have the evangelicals. Even the evangelicals are fed up with the fundamentalist right. Even the evangelicals are now saying faith is too political now. Imagine that. I mean, even a blind hog finds an acorn every once in a while. You know, I guess they were late to the party. The evangelicals are saying that faith is now too political. Imagine that. Conservative Christian leaders who believe the word evangelical has lost its religious meaning. Gee, I went further than that 2 years ago when I began ranting on Bob's show and was calling it, the word Christian doesn't mean anything anymore. I know Bob got sick of me calling. Christian doesn't mean anything anymore. They've sold it lock, stock, and barrel, blah, blah. Well, now they are finally admitting it. They're still clinging to the word Christian as if it does mean something, but it means far less than it used to with the focus on the families. But now they're saying the word evangelical has lost its meaning. They have released a statement called an Evangelical Manifesto, and it condemns Christians on the right and left. Oh, my stars. Yeah, let's just get them on the right and the left. I'd like to see some examples, please. They're condemning Christians on the right and the left for using faith to express political views without regard to the truth of the Bible. According to the draft of the document obtained by the Associated Press. You know, does anybody doubt that it was given to the Associated Press so they could write this article, so they could float it up and see how if anybody threw darts at it, so they'd know how far they could go with it? You know, focus group testing. The conservative Christian leaders are saying in the manifesto, faith loses its independence. Christians become, and I quote, useful idiots. Gee, I think we've heard terminology around this network for years about useful idiots. They become useful idiots for one political party or another, and the Christian faith becomes an ideology according to the draft. Well, duh. The declaration is scheduled to be released in Washington tomorrow, as a matter of fact. And it encourages Christians to be... Why not release it in the church? Are you releasing it in Washington? Oh, yeah, I forgot. I'm sorry. That Christianity is the national religion. Well, of course, that's where you go to make huge religious decrees regarding evangelicals. You do it in Washington, D.C. You don't do it on your Sky Angel satellite Christian network, otherwise known as the Big Hair Channel. You got to love that big hair. And what about that big blonde hooker? Oh, Lord. She is about as deep as a PowerPoint presentation. She's got... No, I won't go on. I love women. I just, you know, love women. Some of my very dearest friends are women. But she's a caricature. I guess she's on that show. She's a character. She is a woman who dresses as hard as she can to look like a bad drag queen. That's what I'm trying to say to you. In any case, it's going to be released in Washington. It encourages Christians to be politically engaged and uphold teachings such as traditional marriage. Sigh. But the drafters say evangelicals have often expressed truth without love. Well, gee whiz, I always thought that, you know, it was love the sinner, hate the sin. But, you know, since that's not biblical, I guess they're now having to go back to... In any case, they're saying that the evangelicals are expressing truth without love, or maybe it's just hate speech without love, helping create a backlash against religion during a generation of culture warring. All too often we've been attacked, and we have attacked the evils and injustices of others while we condone our own sins. Ah, is there a glimmer there that none of us are without sin? Anyway, they argue we must reform our own behavior. Oh, well, I say it's day late and a dollar short, Virginia. You're on the Titanic and the boats have left. But that's just for the mega, you know, Christianity would be fine without you. You know, just don't let the screen door hit you in the ass as you leave the church. The manifesto sides with people who are concerned about single-issue politics, sides against them, rather. More than 80 evangelicals have signed the statement, although only a few names have been released. Gee, I wonder if they'll release those names tomorrow. They're being encouraged to go back to the root of theological meaning and the term of evangelicalism. And, of course, James Dobson is ringing in. James Dobson, the influential founder of Focus on the Family, a Christian group, did not sign the document. Surprise, surprise, surprise. His representative would not say whether Dobson had even read it. I guess he just heard enough about it that he just knew he wasn't going to sign it. Evangelical activists and high-profile evangelical leaders, they're saying that if Dobson and Land, another one, Richard Land, who's the head of public policy for the Southern Baptist Convention, if Land and Dobson do not support or sign the document, it's like throwing a pebble in the ocean and it will carry no weight. It's pretty scary, Christians, when you've got a couple of people that you lift up that high, that their underwear doesn't stink. Lord have mercy. The drafters of the document are hoping they can start a movement amongst evangelicals to reflect and act on the document. We must find a new understanding of our place in public life. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, we should probably have some fun. We've been rambling on now for about almost 40 minutes, so we'll go to a break. We've got a new unreleased track to go to break with, and I heard it today. I was thrilled to hear it. It's a track you've heard. In fact, this particular track goes back to 1971 by a group called Honeycomb, and it's just been released by Larry Sanders. It's a brand new remix. It's been completely rebuilt with a rebuilt intro and middle part and end part. And, you know, you got to hand it to Larry. He finds these gems and remixes them, and they come out like brand new. In any case, Bob, roll it.
Don't stop, no show. If you don't.
expertly remixed by Mr. Larry Sanders. I said it just came out, but it actually isn't out yet. It is the final version, but it's not released on the Sandpiper CD series at this point. That will be coming up on Sandpiper, 25 or 26 in a month or so. And, of course, the track is called One Monkey Don't Stop No Show by Honeycomb, 1971. How Larry breathes new life into these, I'll never know. But I've got to tell you, I really had a good time listening to that song today. It's a lot of fun when you're going through all the doo-doo stuff that we have to talk about around here. One day I'm going to find a show and it's going to be all good news. But I've just never found a day where that was the case. Seems like it gets darker before the dawn, doesn't it? And the This Just In department, our friend Lottie pointed this out to me just prior to the show. It was an article I wasn't aware of. I posted today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. I hadn't seen it. The New York High Court refuses a gay marriage case. This is very, very interesting. The Court of Appeals, which is the highest court in New York State, Tuesday declined to hear a case challenging an appeals court ruling that found that marriages of same-sex couples married in jurisdictions where they are illegal must be recognized in New York. Long, complicated sentence, but the translation is that the Court of Appeals refused to reverse the lower court. The lower court found that if you are married in Massachusetts and it's legal in Massachusetts, then New York must recognize it. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Well, I got to tell you, kids, you can now be married in Massachusetts and travel over the river and through the woods to grandmother's house in New York, and guess what? You're still married. Imagine that. It says, they did, though, reverse a judge's ruling in 2006 that Monroe Community College did not have to extend health benefits to an employee's lesbian partner. Well, if I'm reading that correctly, then in fact, the court ruled that Monroe Community College did have to extend benefits to an employee's lesbian partner. Boy, I'll tell you, this gay agenda stuff, you know, we're hitting pretty heavy. I think it's time for a tornado or something. Just to drive the point home, the couple that was in the case, they formalized their relationship in a civil ceremony in Vermont in 2001. They were married in Canada in 2004. Gee, it looks to me like they took every single step, but New York didn't want to allow them to be married in New York, but this Court of Appeals said, oh, no, 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 not going to touch it. Not going to touch it. So the state of marriage, of course, for same-sex couples in New York is very much unsettled. The Empire State Pride Agenda Executive Director Alan Van Capel said. He says, until a law is passed by the New York State Legislature, there will always be the possibility that another court decision could undo. You know, it's always drama, 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 drama. Half the time I feel like Norma Desmond at the top of the stairs. Drama, drama, drama. Can't we all just get along? Can't our pesky lesbian friends just say that they're lesbians without the entire island of Lesbos rising up? Oh, my stars. You know, it's like there are not enough civil rights to go around. It's like there are not even enough words to go around, you know? You just get awful tired of this. But anyway, I thought that was great news. Thank you for pointing that out to me, Lottie. I had missed that. It's now, if you're married in Massachusetts, until another court gets hold of it, anyway, you are also married in New York. You know, it's a shame to have to talk about this state by state. And slowly I turned, step by step, closer and closer. It's a shame to have to do it that way. But nonetheless, that's how we have to do it. And speaking of Lottie, let's talk about Massachusetts for a minute. The course up there in Massachusetts, even though marriage is legal between same-sex couples. In fact, hell hasn't frozen over, nor has the ground opened up and swallowed them. There is a group there called Mass Resistance. Now, this group called Mass Resistance, or Massachusetts Resistance, if they completed it, is rabid and wacky and mean-spirited and lots of other words. They are pushing, in fact, I believe they're even going to publish it, the book. Remember we talked about it earlier this evening, the book by Ryan Sorba, he's scheduled to speak at a Young Republicans meeting in September, and I've forgotten what state. But in any case, the anti-gay group Mass Resistance has been pushing hard the writings of Ryan Sorba. Now, he is a young political activist of the Republican Young Left, and they plan, they're going to host the first draft of his book, I guess publish it, and they've been trying to raise his profile in the conservative movement. Of course, as I said earlier, the thinking conservatives will not even bother to argue to your face anymore that ex-gay therapy works, conversion therapy, you know, they give you Epicac and make you watch porn movies, that kind of therapy doesn't work. But the more loony, the more outrageous the anti-gay group is, read that Mass Resistance or Focus on the Family or the American Family Association, the wackier they are, the more likely they are to jump on something like the Born Gay hoax. Now, this fellow, Ryan Sorba, was till recently, anyway, having very little success getting his book published. He says things like reparative therapy is a proven success and that everything that's happened is due to pro-sodomy activists. In any case, it's not surprising that Mass Resistance jumped on the bandwagon. But what happened here, it was all fairly quiet and being pushed in Massachusetts by Mass Resistance, and he was scheduled to speak somewhere. But, oh, those pesky lesbians. By the way, my dear lesbian friends, I do love you. A group of lesbians, imagine that. You go, girl. A group of lesbians disrupted a talk that Sorba was giving to a conservative club at Smith College. Is that legal, a conservative club? In any case, the rowdy lesbians burst in and they shouted him down, and he was going on about the Sodomites and the Israelites and the Moabites and the pro-sodomy activists and the born gay hoax. You know, that's always been a sore spot with me. You know, for years they said homosexuality ain't natural because it's found, no, you can't find it anywhere in nature. And now that it's common scientific knowledge that it's prevalent throughout nature, even in the little tiny insects, even the penguins, even in the mammals. In any case, now that it's been demonstrated that it is throughout nature, they've changed the story, they changed the rules. Now the rules are, well, then if you're homosexual, you're just following your animal instincts. So in any case, where was I? I wandered off behind the chickens again. But any case, here we go. Yes, the lesbians disrupted a talk that Sorba was giving to the conservative club, and now Ryan has become a martyr, a bona fide martyr. He is an example of how badly the evil homosexuals treat good Christians, and it was all pretty much, you know, in hand until WJLA ABC7 in Washington D.C. got wind of it, and according to this article, they breathlessly declared, "The idea that a person can change their sexual preference is beginning to become a major debate with gay activists because of an upcoming book, The Born Gay Hoax." You gotta laugh. So it's the book that brought this up, huh? This unknown, unheard-of book by some unknown Ryan Sorba, who Mass Resistance is trying desperately to get him a position or a name within the conservative movement. This is in fact what started this major debate. Well, it was pathetic journalism. The writer of this particular article is Mr. Timothy Kincaid. He says it's an embarrassment to the entire news department at ABC7, and it's a sad indictment of the quality of news that reaches consumer Yeah. We know all this. We're part of the Head On Radio Network. But you know, I'm glad that you wrote the article, and you seem to have gotten everything just about 100% Head On Radio Network approved here. He says if it wasn't pathetic journalism, it would be laughable. Lord mercy. So, let's see here. Craig, remember Wide Stance Larry? Wide Stance Larry Craig. He is finally keeping his promise to retire. He's been in the scandal since last summer, and he did not file for re-election by his state's deadline Friday, keeping a promise he made to end his congressional career. Actually, he said that he would leave on the spot, but he stuck around for a while. You know, Republicans can get away with that sort of thing. He was the one at the men's room in the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport, which is now, I believe, a tourist spot, to see the floor that Larry Craig was dancing on. He served 5 terms in the House, and he denied charges that he solicited sex from an undercover police officer conducting a sting operation to crack down on gay sexual liaisons at the airport bathrooms. Wonder just how gay they are, aren't they? Seems like the only ones we keep hearing about are the married Republicans. The closeted gay sexual liaisons of the Republican Party in airport restaurants. Perhaps it's better said in that way. So, another one bites the dust. You recall did you see that there was a comic? You remember, we all know the picture of, we've seen, you know, over the web, we've seen, you know, the depiction of Larry Craig's black shoes sticking under the bathroom stall, you know, doing the toe tap bit. And there was a delightful cartoon I saw somewhere in the web. Who knows? The web's a big place that I wander aimlessly about on it. Sometimes don't remember where I was. But in any case, it was a delightful cartoon. It showed a couple of voters standing in the old-style voting machines where you stood up and you closed the curtain behind you, and then you had all the little levers in front of you. And, you know, that's just a short wall between the two voters. And it showed a voter standing in his booth with his foot way over to the other voter's side. The caption of the cartoon, I don't believe it had a caption. If it did, I don't recall it. It should have been called Republican Voter. If somebody is sticking their shoe on your side of the curtain in a voting machine, the old style voting machine, if you see that foot, you know that's a Republican voter right next door. Let's see what else we've got here in the new news department. Oh, I wanted to tell you about a story about our friend Glenn Rivera. He doesn't know I'm going to tell this story, but nonetheless, I'm going to tell the story. Do you remember a while back, American Family Association went berserk about Procter & Gamble? Remember, Procter & Gamble wants to know if you approve of its support of the homosexual lifestyle. And actually, Procter & Gamble promotes explicit open-mouth homosexual kissing. Send this alert. Send money. Forward to everybody you know. And there's a link to a video. We ran the audio on the show. American Family Association goes to great lengths to say that it is disgusting, and I had to agree because the acting is just terrible. I told Bob the other day that it looked like a couple of hungry guys eating spaghetti, this open mouth homosexual kissing. I mean, honey, if you're going to do it with a little class. But in any case, I forwarded this action alert. The Procter & Gamble promotes explicit homosexual kissing, and they ramble on about the content is and the homosexual agenda, and, you know, you've heard it all. I forwarded a copy of it to our dear friend Glenn Rivera, who is the executive director of talent bookings on the network. And Glenn responded. And he wrote to the American Family Association, And he wrote to Procter & Gamble and or emailed or called one. There was a toll-free number, and he says so he's saying that he told Procter & Gamble that it was brave and that homosexuality wasn't going away, and that as Afro-Americans and Jewish people and other groups have been picked as targets, so have we, and it's time to start living together regardless of our religions, color, and sexuality. Imagine this. A DJ in San Diego having to say this, and our Christian leader is still stumbling over it's a sin. In any case, Glenn wrote, I thank you, and I offer my services in any possible way. Glenn does website development, et cetera, et cetera. So what did the American Family Association do after receiving a complaint from our executive director of talent bookings in San Diego? What did they do? Why they just put him on the mailing list. They put Glenn on the mailing list, of course. We don't read any of these things that come in. We just assume that anybody that contacts us wants to be on the mailing list. So Glenn, not to be outdone, called, and I do mean a telephone call. Oh, God, I so wish that he had recorded it. He called the American Family Association and told them to, he told them to remove me from their list, and I reported them to the Internet. My Internet service provider is spam, and I emailed my Internet carrier and told them that I'm receiving spam, and I called Procter & Gamble, and they were very happy to hear about the call that I made to the American, whoever, the Family Association. And while he was on the phone with Procter & Gamble, he told me he was very supportive of the programming, and supports real life rather than living on some other planet. And he said that Procter & Gamble, they seemed very happy and helpful, and he gave them his name, address, and phone number, and told them if any of their advertisers or if anybody wanted to see who supports the movement, they were welcome to use his name and address on that. So anyway, I just wanted to tell you the heroic story that Glenn Rivera took on the American Family and says, you go, Glenn. That's remarkable. So, but anyway, as a consequence, he was put on the mailing list. So I'll be looking for updates to see if they're still coming through, or if the internet service provider is blocking them, or who knows. So, and by the way, I won't give you his email address, but his internet service provider is Cox.net, which of course is the cable company. If I'm not mistaken, isn't that the cable company that's been blocking HeadOnRadioNetwork.com emails and also HeadOnRadio.com emails? It was one of those cable service providers that, for whatever reason, the Head On Radio Network, you cannot communicate if you use that address. We have to go to and send our mail via Gmail to get through to some of these cable companies. Bob is pointing out that, no, it was Comcast. But, if all them cable companies, they all look alike to me. It's hard to keep them separated. Let's see. No, I don't want to do that story. Don't like it. And the story can come later. And this story can come later. Ah, here we go. If you recall, I was ranting on and on about the in the United Kingdom, they were changing the law about hate speech to make it easier for artists, for instance, homophobic artists out of Jamaica, to be specific, to write anti-gay and lyrics. And by anti-gay, I'm using that phrase very, 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 very lightly. Actually, the lyrics encourage ripping hearts out and cutting hands off and bullets in the head and that the LGBT community has no right to live and on and on and on. It seems to be just a hot topic with Sizzla. His name is Sizzla. That's spelled S-I-Z-Z-L-A. Fetching man with a fuzzy hat on his head. you know, the old hey, 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 Barney hats, or what was that guy who was fat out? Remember those old hats he used to wear back then? Anyway, his new album is called Ghetto Revolution. Well, I have news for you, Sizzla. There'll be no revolution as long as you're still in your hate speech mode. I don't know what kind of revolution you're talking about, but get a grip. In any case, he had planned. There's a whole list. Sizzla isn't the only one. Sizzla is just his particular concert. There's a whole bunch of them. There's Elephant Man, T.O.K., Bounty Killer. You know, no. In any case, he has been banned. They're refusing to give him a visa. Now, there's a visa that you can take you to any of the European Union countries that you can travel through, and that's what he was trying to get for his European tour this month. But guess what? The German Foreign Affairs Office phoned a gay rights group to say that their embassy in Kingston, Jamaica, confirmed that the singer in his songs and his repertoire meet the legal criteria of incitement of the people, meaning kill the queers. And so the agreement for the travel pass or passport is between 29 nations on the continent and allows free movement across the borders if you can get this visa, and he was going to use it for his concert. Well, they refused to issue the concert because he couldn't get a visa to do his... Oh, him could not get a visa to do his little hate songs. Bless him's little heart. He's such a good Sizzla. I'm sorry. Yes, I know my contempt is showing, but, you know, walk a mile in my high heels. You'll begin to understand. Lord have mercy. So, where are we here? The embassy also says that the Jamaican citizen who calls himself Sizzla, several of his songs call for murder and homicide of LGBT folks. As a consequence, he is not going to be allowed to enter into the passport system to travel from country to country. And he says it's a part of a public database. When people are registered there, they are unwanted. In other words, people who have outstanding warrants or in other countries, things like that, or if you happen to be Sizzla with the hey, hey, hey hat. How you doing now, Sizzla? It's hurting your pocketbook just a little bit, wasn't it? Wasn't it? Well, isn't that special? So the Federal Ministry of the Interior communicated today that due to the letters, necessary legal measures have been taken for the prevention of entry into the European Union by the rapper. Jamaican reggae singer. Beanie Man, here's the list of a few of them. In July 07, artists Beanie Man, Sizzla, and Capleton released numerous anti-gay and hate songs, including incitements to murder lesbians and gays and bisexuals and transgendered. Even after they signed an agreement not to write lyrics like that and sing them in the EU. In any case, it just doesn't work till you hit their pocketbook. Wonder how all that hate sounds to you now. But you see, in Jamaica, it's huge. In Jamaica, well, I'm going to cover, I don't know if I'll get to it tonight, but I'm going to cover some personal stories of LGBT folks who actually live in Jamaica and what they go through. If you're being beaten by a crowd because you don't look because you're a sissy, the police arrive and keep the crowd from getting too close so that the fight won't be interrupted. People are regularly taken to police stations and all sorts of horrible things happen to them. And I'll cover that when I get down the stack a little bit. That will have to be told over a few nights. I think there are 15 stories, and they're very graphic. I've been avoiding. But I would like to do that at some point when I get down to that point. So you'll understand what hate speech like this. You see, in Jamaica, the government, the church, the music, they're all, you know, kill them. Here's a little story about the Cayman Islands. As long as we're in the sunny part of the world, A man has been held by police in the Cayman Islands for kissing his boyfriend, and he's an American. His name is Aaron Chandler. He's 23 years old, and he was on a holiday with his partner. He was detained by an off-duty police officer. He was taken to a police station, but not arrested, and later he was released. You see, there were complaints about the couple kissing that were made by fellow customers at the Royal Palms Resort. The couple says that they behaved no differently than any other straight guest. He says, "I do display affection when I'm with my boyfriend publicly," Mr. Chandler said. It's never anything that most people would consider obscene. It's the form of holding hands or a quick kiss. In any case, he was told by an off-duty police officer not to kiss his partner in public. What is it about the islands that's so damn homophobic? But in any case, I don't know. That's almost like you're reading about what's going on in Iran and Iraq when you read about the islands, which is another reason I would rather you not support them by taking a cruise down there. But take a cruise somewhere else. Go see the melting Arctic. The Arctic won't be there. Those islands will be there for a long time. Go see the Arctic. Take a cruise around and see the whales. In any case, he's told not to kiss his partner in public. So the couple, later in the evening, they ignored the instructions and they kissed again. And some, I don't know, the dance club. It wasn't like they were making out. It was just a kiss on the cheek. I don't know. They're young and in love. What can I tell you? They're 23 years old. Kissing happens, people. It just happens. So he was physically taken away from the nightclub where he was drinking with his friends and was detained this time at the local police station. Mr. Chandler was led away from the bar. He was protesting the officer's actions. Many were shocked at the arrest. A British overseas territory. The Cayman Islands is a British overseas territory. And homosexual acts between consenting adults were decriminalized in Cayman by the United Kingdom in December of 2000. Let's see if I'm counting right. That's about 8 years ago. So many are shocked at the arrest by the Cayman Islands of the British, being a part of the British overseas territory. But nonetheless, even though it was decriminalized, there are laws in the penal code. Here in this story, we can call it the penis code. There are laws in the penis code, and the towns and communities that make public displays of attraction by, or affection rather, by two people of the same sex is a crime, especially if it causes distress to other members of the public. Oh, God forbid. Mr. Chandler was told that although he was able to do what he liked in the privacy of his hotel room, he was not allowed to. It's not acceptable for two men to kiss each other in a public place. This is from the man who said this. From the National Youth Advocacy Coalition. That fights for rights of LGBT youth. In a letter to in the Cayman Islands. The young man says, "I fought his request." The police officer was religious and bigoted, and I really didn't believe I was going to be arrested. And he said, "I won't allow myself to be forced back in the closet because I'm in a place where some people may be more homophobic than other places." And Cayman Islands is, there was a huge uproar there when a gay cruise stopped the island. We covered this a while back. Religious leaders there protested and demanded that the cruise liner fill with more than 16,000 gay men. Oh my God, it's an invasion. Had to go elsewhere. The passengers were not given a warm welcome. But tourism accounts to 70 to 75% of the annual gross domestic product, the annual income of the Cayman Islands. And so, this happened a couple of days ago, and then what do you think appeared in my news box today? The gay man who was detained by the Royal Cayman Islands by the police last week for kissing his male partner on a dance floor. Aha, they were dancing. It was those damn DJs. received a written letter of apology from the director of tourism in the Caymans. Oh, my. He said he wasn't actually arrested. He was detained by police. We've covered this in the previous story. On the behalf of the entire Department of Tourism, which I just pointed out takes in 70 to 75% of their annual income, on behalf of the entire Department of Tourism, I apologize for upsetting you and for your upsetting experience. We want to ensure you that the Cayman Islands is welcoming to all people. What happened to you is an isolated incident. It is not representative of the Caymans. We know that thousands of GLBT visitors travel to Cayman Islands every year to enjoy the vacation. It goes on for a way. And then what do you think? What else came in my inbox today? But corporate America and locations for tourism around the world are courting the LGBT customers with travel dollars. Major corporations and countries are trying to tap into the LGBT travel market. Experts are saying now it's worth about $65 billion a year. That's a lot of lesbians going to Lesbos, isn't it? That's a lot of kissing in the Caymans, honey. Oh, I'm so sorry. That $65 billion is just the number in the United States. Well, gee whiz. The article goes on to point out numbers by American Airlines and how they know their travelers are gay. I don't know. I'm sure the Department of Homeland Security has it in their computer system somehow. But the countries are... And it's just a terrible faux pas that the Grand Caymans... But anyway, they wrote him a letter of apology straight from the Office of Tourism. I thought that was a wonderful gesture. I wanted to get in... I've been rambling on for another 20 or 30 minutes. So get in another track of... We do have, by the way, Bobby Vittoretti is playing for us at the gay bar across the street. A wonderful segment he sent to us from 1979 from a Billboard tea dance. And we'll be running that during the last half hour. But I wanted to go to break with another wonderful track this evening called Pick Up the Pieces. This is from 1975, and it's by a woman named Doris Duke. It has been beautifully restored and extended and remixed by Mr. Larry Sanders. And, in fact, this particular track is available in the current Sandpiper CDs. You can find out all about the Sandpiper series at MorningstarMelody.com. And I also hear rumors that they will be carried in record stores in San Francisco area soon. Great track. You got to love it. Where this music comes from, I'll never know. Pick Up the Pieces, Doris Duke. Roll it, Bob.
We
Another incredible remix from Mr. Larry Sanders, the world's most dangerous yet lovable DJ. Pick up pieces from 1975. Where he finds this stuff, I will never know, but it's like going back and hearing brand new Motown songs you've never heard before. Now, if you'd like to know more about the Morningstar Melody, just stop by morningstarmelody.com or you can also, yeah, MorningstarMelody.com, and this is from the Sandpiper series. That's on volume 24. That CD just came out this week. If you love that music. Here's the article I was referring to earlier about LGBT folks not knowing what's up. Survey shows. What's the game show that does it? Survey shows gays are ignorant of the basic rights issues. Says that very few gay Americans understand their basic rights, according to an analysis released this week. I don't know what you people are doing. Guess you're just leaving it up to the wealthy the big money homosexuals who have all those lobbies that they keep talking about. But based on the responses of 768 gay, lesbian, bisexuals in a national poll given in November, the analysis found that most respondents could not correctly answer four questions regarding their state and federal rights. Thank you. That's Family Feud, Cobwebs told me in chat. That was Family Feud. And the survey says, I think the word ignorant is the right word, says Pat Egan, who's an assistant professor of politics at New York University, who is gay and helped write the analysis. The poll was conducted by City University of New York's Hunter College and asked whether same-sex marriages were legal in the respondent state, if the U.S. Constitution bans same-sex marriage, whether gays can serve openly in the military, and if there's a federal law barring the firing of workers based on their sexual orientation. I think every one of the listeners to this network knows the answers to those questions. However, only 38% of the LGBT folks answered all four questions correctly. Well, that's just a damn shame. Fellow says, on one hand, it doesn't surprise me. We would love to have seen these numbers higher. According to the analysis, 94% of the respondents knew whether same-sex marriage was legal in their state. I don't know what the other 6% were doing, but in any case, 78% knew that the U.S. Constitution does not ban same-sex marriage. 82% knew that they could not serve openly in the military. And only 59% knew that there is no federal laws that bars workers from being fired based on their sexual orientation. So only 6 in 10 LGBT folks know there is no national law protecting them from employment discrimination. And considering this has been a top priority for advocates in Washington for the past 20 years, it's pretty astounding, pretty disappointing. The National Field Director for the Human Rights Campaign said he was discouraged by the findings and that it demonstrated the need for further education. You know, that's, people live, you know, it's almost a ghetto type effect. Not in the sense of being poor necessarily, but ghetto in the sense of only going to gay restaurants, only going to gay bars, only talking to your gay friends, only, you know, I've seen it. I know how it works. And when you live that way, you just don't hear about these things. And you know, it's kind of important that you do. Egan said 33% of the poll's LGBT respondents indicated they were very interested in politics, compared to 22% in the general population. The poll's respondents were likelier than people in the general population to have engaged in some kind of political activity during the preceding year. Well, good on you. Says LGBT citizens are almost 8% likelier to have contacted a government official, 7% likelier to have attended a protest or rally, and 4% likelier to have given money to a campaign. You're doing all the right stuff, but you need to know where Texas is on the map. You need to know where Focus on the Family is. And you need to know about the American Family Association. And you need to get a little steam under your collar. These people want to see you, well, want to see you gone, my friends. They don't want to see you as part of this country. See you out of here. It's interesting that in the respondents from 18 to 25 years old, they indicated that marriage and adoption rights were the top issues, while respondents who were 65 years or older noted that the laws regarding hate crime and workplace discrimination were the most important. I have a little story about Australia. This actually came out last week, but I'm getting to it. Now, the Australian government has announced plans to remove about 100 laws it says discriminates against gay couples. How about that? The laws include preventing them from benefiting from financial and social entitlements. The government did not make any changes to the marriage law, but they did roll back 100 laws that do discriminate. Of course, the LGBT community is indicating that there won't be true equality in Australia or anywhere else, for that matter, until people are allowed to, well, at least pursue happiness. When they initially, when the Labor government initially predicted there would probably be about 50 laws they would have to adjust or roll back, it in fact came out to a larger number. It was in fact double. The laws affected entitlements such as Social Security, pensions, veterans payments, health, taxation, workers' compensation. Similarly, the children of gay couples have little or no rights to such benefits. But the government promised to remove these discriminatory laws by the middle of next year. But it is refusing to act upon legalizing gay marriage, which has angered many LGBT groups in Australia. The government continues to hold the line and say that they believe that marriage is between a man and a woman and refuses to support any measures which seek to mimic that arrangement. Just got to love the word mimic in that. Who's the man? Who's the woman? I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh. You know, that's usually one of the first you. Who's the man? Honey, we're both men, can't you tell? Or we're both women, can't you tell? But who's the man? Oh, sorry. I walk a mile on my heels. You'll know why I feel that way. Another article about the Australians cutting discrimination. Let's see. I don't have time for too much more because we're going to go over to the gay bar across the street. Here we go. Here's a nice little short one. This has got a little sting to it, but it's from Roseanne Barr, so she's always kind of a, she always has a bite. Domestic goddess Roseanne Barr dishes out what every homo should know about his hetero gay pals. Number 10, Judy's dead. Get over it. Number 9, it's not cute when you flirt with our boyfriends. They're not uptight. They're straight. Number 8, trust me, real prisons are not erotic. 7, tops, bottoms, why limit yourselves? Number 6, no, we don't want to hear how big it was. Number 5, are you sure you want the right to marry? Haven't you suffered enough? Number 4, black and white photos of guys in their underwear is not art. Number 3, this crystal meth thing has to go. Leave something for the straight white trash. Number 2, stop being so anal. And number 1, no, your lap dogs are not just as important as the children we actually give birth to. That's from a Roseanne Barr comedy skit. Just thought I'd pass that along. I happened to come across that the other day on the web. And I am looking forward to the Gay Bar Across the Street segment this evening. It's our dear friend Bobby Vittoretti. He's an old-school Generation 1 DJ. You can find out about Bobby at bobbyvittoretti.com. That's BobbyVittoretti.com. And this particular segment that he's running for us at the Gay Bar Across the Street is from 1979. It was mixed live. This is at a live club. It was recorded on open reel-to-reel tape with the big 15-inch reels. And here it still survives, what, 20, 30 years later? And it's from a 1979 Billboard Tea Dance. And so as we gather up our umbrellas and our pocketbooks and our overcoats, we'll head on over to the gay bar across the street. Enjoy.
Across the alley was the Paradise Dance Hall. Evenings in spring, they'd open all the doors and windows and the music would come outside. Sometimes they'd turn out all the lights except for a large glass sphere that hung from the ceiling. It would turn slowly about and filter the dusk with delicate rainbow colors.
Love. well. Not this time, babe. Well, we won't be in and out, up and down, all around. Not this time, babe.
Have it, a Bobby Vittoretti tea dance mix that was recorded live back in 1979. Thank you, Bobby. You can find out about Bobby at bobbyvittoretti.com. That's BobbyVittoretti. All of his music is available there, and you can find out about the man and the legend of Mr. Bobby Vittoretti. I'm going to sneak this last story in because it's one that's you can't go to a gay site without seeing the story, so I'm going to slip it in quickly. His name is Uriel Gomez, and he didn't set out to run for prom queen. I didn't mean to. He's just a young man at Park High School. Now, a star football player in a skirt is one thing, but an honor student in a tiara is entirely different. See, earlier this week, enough of Gomez's classmates nominated him for a short list of seniors who would get on the prom court. And his name landed on the girls' side, which meant he could be voted prom queen. The school administrators were less than thrilled by the prospect and would not let him proceed. This is all, it's after all, well, you know, it's Racine. And there was a documentary film about Racine called The World's Best Prom. They take it very, very seriously there. Gomez didn't expect it. It's a strange battle, but he says he's been called queen all his life, and they might as well give me the tiara and the honors that go along with it. I think so. It's a great title, and since the beginning of the freshman year, I've been trying to take things in stride, and he has navigated the minefield that high school can be for an openly gay student. I say, let him be queen, and why the hell not? Okay, we have a interesting horn section this evening. We might have our fellow Bruce Birch joining us tonight, along with myself and Mr. John Fox from down in Australia land, and Mr. Bob Kincaid from a secret location somewhere in the mountains of West Virginia. If so, that would be nice to hear from Bruce. We haven't, Bruce ran a show on this network for quite a while, and we all know and love Bruce, but he has not been broadcasting on the Hedda Radio Network for a while. Maybe this foretells a future comeback. That would be a lot of fun. So as we close up at the end of the show here, I want to tell you that I'd like to thank the chat moderators and to the news ninjas a great deal of thanks. We could not do this show without the moderators and the news ninjas who are in constant pursuit of the truth and in constant pursuit of content for this show and the other shows. We also want to let you know that, yes, John Fox is live this evening also, that live programming is going to continue right through till at least 1 a.m. It's a horn section following this show, and then John Fox, all foxed up, will be again at midnight, and that's an interesting broadcast day. You know, we have just some of the best shows that you're ever going to hear, and live almost, it seems, almost 24 hours a day at this point. It's an amazing thing. So, again, thank you for joining me on Strictly Confidential. I'll look forward to seeing you again tomorrow evening, and it's time for me to get out of here so we can go to the horn section. Here's Cynthia Manley reminding you too.
Music happens when the sheet music gets put aside and the gang just sits down and jams. Same thing here on The Horn, America's best liberal talk hosts free-forming together for an hour a night. Welcome to The Horn Section. Right here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. Now let's crank up the jam.